Let me begin by thanking Father Dunkel and Dr. Hart for their kind hospitality, which began last Sunday and continues through the present moment. I thank you along with my wife, Donna. You are more than kind to us and helpful. Thank you. And Father Dunkel, thank you for sharing your pulpit with me tonight. Thank you. And thank you to the Weber family, extended and immediate. It's a great honor for me to stand in front of you, a humbling honor, a hard honor, actually, because of my fondness for Bob. But I'm grateful to you for consenting to my being here. And Joanne, just a word to you, if I may. I appreciated and was deeply moved by my conversations with you on the phone before and after Bob's death. And you're an inspiration, not just to me, but to all of us. And all of us here recognize, and I can express for everyone in the assembly, that you helped Bob finish well, and we're grateful to you. And I can't think of Bob Weber, frankly, without Joanne Weber. I can't think of Joanne Weber without Bob Weber, because if ever there was a matched pair, they were it. So I have only some sense, limited as it is, of your loss. Someone kindly said, you better tell people why you're up here, because no one is going to know who you are or why you're here. So let me do that. First of all, I was an admirer of Bob. That's, of course, not the full explanation of why I'm here, because if all the admirers were in front of you, it would be more than you could number, which is a point that I will make in a moment. But also I was, along with my wife, a friend to the Webers, and we knew them in friendship. And significantly, since he had many friends and many admirers, that either doesn't exactly explain my presence. But some years ago, I had the honor of serving as the parish priest in St. Mark's, Geneva. My wife was the deacon in that parish, and that was the home church of the Webers for a good space of time. And that gave me, us, the opportunity to know him in that context, which is a powerful context to be a pastor to a man of his stature and to his wife and family. So that's why I'm here, and it is both a joy and a great honor. I'm not going to even attempt to repeat what was said in the eulogies at the beginning of our time together. It was well said, much was said, all of it was worth hearing, all of it was true. I do want to say this much, that Bob has a legacy which most people will never have. It is true that he was never in charge of a mega institution. But the fact of the matter is, he has influenced more lives than many people who have led mega institutions. His legacy is measured, I think this is not an exaggeration, in the multiple thousands of people whose lives he has influenced, and that would, of course, include you and me. So no matter how a person interacted with him as theologian or author or professor or mentor or friend, they wanted to be where he was. His enthusiasm, his optimism, his joy of the kingdom and the kingdom's king was contagious. And so people are his legacy. And that, of course, includes all of us. We who are in the liturgical church view the church year as one of the great geniuses of Christianity. It allows a congregation to move degree by degree through all of the life events of the earthly Messiah, and then in the second half of the year to ponder his teachings. And the axle around which his earthly life events turn in the liturgical year concerns his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And there is what I like to think of as an anteroom to those events called Lent. And there is a door that leads into Lent, and that's called Ash Wednesday. I want to think with that with you for a few minutes. In a death-denying culture, the liturgical church on Ash Wednesday does something that is notable. It stares death in the face, not in a morose way, but in a very real way. And we speak to each other on that night in a way that we hardly would ever on any other occasion. We say these words with great sobriety. Remember, my brother or sister, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. For 39 years I have imposed, that's an interesting verb, I have imposed ashes on people. I have imposed ashes upon newborn children being carried in the arms of dad or mom, of toddlers, of pre-adolescents, adolescents, young adults, middle-aged adults, and people like myself in Elizabethan language of riper years. If you have never done that, which is likely, it would be not easy to exaggerate the meaning of looking into the eyes of another human being and saying, you will die. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's even more unique as a father of four children to have my children come to the communion rail year by year on Ash Wednesday and to mark them with ashes, the ashes of repentance and mortality, looking into the eyes of your own children and saying to them, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Two people upon whom I imposed ashes that is relevant to this evening would be Joanne and Bob. And tonight we find ourselves in the unusual situation, or I do, of talking about a person who fulfilled what we talked about Ash Wednesday by Ash Wednesday. Bob, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Bob had a hope for himself and for those with whom he had contact in the professorial role or any role that he had. His hope was to live for eternity with the living God, the holy, holy, holy God. And he knew, and I know, and I trust you know, there is only one way to actualize the hope of immortality. And it is not by legacy. As great a man as Bob was, his legacy is before God, nothing. Before us, something. For one of Bob's greatest attributes, and actually and ironically, the one that gives joy to this time tonight, is the fact that he was a sinner. That's not the joyful part. The joyful part is he could not be a redeemed sinner if he was not a sinner. So, on Ash Wednesday, I imposed ashes on Bob. But the ashes, if done properly, that is to say, not haphazardly, are not just simply smudged onto a person's forehead. The ancient tradition of the church is to burn palms from the previous year, the Hosanna palms, which have now turned to dust, and to take your thumb and to carefully, with care, sign that person with a cross on their forehead. so that even as we speak of death on Ash Wednesday, even as we impose the ashes of mortality on Ash Wednesday, we do that in the light of the cross, in the shadow of the cross. In simple terms, I want to tell you what that means, probably not for the first time, but how can we not rejoice in this? The Apostle Paul, speaking to believers, said this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. You who were dead in your trespasses, God made alive, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us. He set that aside, nailing it to the cross. Let me give you a picture as I imagine this. The text in chapter 2 of Colossians says that there is a record of debt. At this very moment, there is against you and me a record of debt, and there was against Bob, and you do not want people to know what's on that record, I assure you. This is my image. I imagine the Lord Jesus Christ, scribe and tablet in hand, marking Bob's record of debt. We've acknowledged he's a sinner. And then I imagine him at Calvary rolling this up, wadding up the record, holding it in his hand, laying back, awaiting for the power of Rome through the cocked arm of a soldier to drive a spike not only through his hand, but through the record of Bob's debt. And when the cross was lifted high, and the Savior of the world on it, arms spread in the gesture of love, I picture Bob's record of debt with a spike through it, nailed to the cross. Now, if that's true, or something like it is true, how can we not praise God? There is, the Apostle Paul, therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That one way into eternity, we have already acknowledged, is not legacy. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We have not come to debate that, but to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, and Bob's sins, and ours too, if we're his disciples, canceled out the debt at the cross, had them canceled at the cross. Later, in just a few minutes, Father Dunkel is going to remind us of something very powerful, and those of you who have studied worship and liturgy know this, that we are interacting at this moment with the church triumphant. We are worshiping not just as a group of fleshly human beings, but we are worshiping with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. We are vertically united, the church militant and the church triumphant. And Bob is there. He is alive. And we give thanks to God and we give praise to God, not just for Bob, but we stand in the presence of Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Aaron, Miriam and Joshua, Deborah and Gideon, Samuel and Hannah, Isaiah and all the prophets, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, with Peter and Paul and all the apostles, with Mary and Martha, Mary Magdalene and Stephen, with all the martyrs and all the confessors and every saint down through the ages. We are in union with them in this worship. What an awesome moment this is. Bob wrote something. You don't need to turn to it because I want to read you just a sentence of what he wrote under the title, A Note from Bob. And I think that's a very great gift that we have to carry away. But he says, I want my funeral to be a testimony to the God who raises us from hopelessness and blesses us with new life. Let me tell you in just a couple of words what hopelessness sounds like. Back in the 1970s, those of us who are of riper years will remember a band named Kansas. And the band named Kansas had a bestseller called Dust in the Wind. Let me read you two verses of what a hopeless philosophy of life sounds like. Dust in the wind. We are all just dust in the wind. Dust in the wind. Everything is just dust in the wind. Now let me read to you, and I close with these words from the Book of Common Prayer, from the words of committal of cremains or a body. These are words with respect to dust that are filled with hope, and it is exactly what Bob wanted us to think on this night. Ensure and certain hope of the resurrection unto eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we commit to Almighty God our brother Bob. We commit him to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The Lord bless him and keep him. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.